Welcome, everyone. Good evening. As Jenny said, my name's Georgia, and I've been a member of All Saints for about 4 years, and it's great to have you here tonight. So this evening, we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus. If you want to grab a Bible, there should be one in the seat. Well, should. There might be one in the seat near you somewhere. So we're in Exodus chapter 19. And that's on page 76 of the church Bibles. So to give people a little bit of background about where we're up to in Exodus 19, lots of you might know the story of Moses. The beginning of Exodus gives us the story of Moses. So for those of you who don't know, at the beginning of Exodus, this boy, Moses, is born. He's quite miraculously survives his birth as there's a mass genocide going on at that time for all Israelite baby boys. So he survives that and he grows up. And after a whole series of different events, he ends up bringing all the people of Israel out of slavery. So after 10 awful plagues, Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, God parts the Red Sea, and there's a great exodus of the nation of Israel, leaving Egypt, claiming freedom for them. So that's the background. And then we get to where we are in Exodus chapter 19, 3 months after that happens. So I'm just going to read verses 1 to 9 if you want to follow. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to the Lord, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Some of you might have seen the films Rain Man, Shrek, or About a Boy, and all of these films, like so many others, tell a really similar story. And we're just going to watch the opening of About a Boy now.
Okay, ready for this?
As I'll ever be.
As you'll ever be. Okay, let's do it. Let's play. Who wants to be a millionaire? Who wrote the phrase, "No man is an island"? John Donne, John Milton, John F. Kennedy, John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi, too easy. In my opinion, all men are islands. And what's more, now's the time to be one. This is an island age. 100 years ago, for instance, you had to depend on other people. No one had TV or CDs or DVDs or videos or home espresso makers. As a matter of fact, they didn't have anything cool. Whereas now, you see, you can make yourself a little island paradise. With the right supplies and, more importantly, the right attitude, you can be sun-drenched, tropical, a magnet for young Swedish tourists.
Hi, it's Christina. I haven't heard from you. I had a great time last weekend, so give me a call, okay?
And I like to think that perhaps I'm that kind of island. I like to think I'm pretty cool. I like to think I'm Ibiza.
So if you haven't seen this film, it's centered around a man who believes that the best way to live is to live independently. And he paints a really good picture of it. His life doesn't look bad. In fact, it looks like the sort of lives many of us would like to have. And that's because I think it's a natural instinct of humans to be independent. And this has become easier over time with TV, CDs, he says videos, it shows how old the film is, phones, Facebook, Instagram, and a whole world of online entertainment. We can all quite easily make for ourselves a little island paradise. But this passage that we just read couldn't be more opposite to that film. In this passage, you read about God's covenant with Israel. And a covenant is a promise of God promising himself to his people. And this covenant starts with God saying, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God is reminding them of how he saved them. He's reminding them of the salvation that he has brought them. And I think we can sometimes think of our salvation as an individual thing. There's that wonderful parable of the shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep to go after the one sheep that he's lost, representing Jesus going after each and every one of us because he loves us, to bring us back to him. And we sing about it as well. If you know the song Reckless Love, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And yes, God's love is overwhelming for us, and he longs for each of us to know him. And yes, if you were the only person alive, he still would have died for you. But you're not. God doesn't call individuals to himself. He calls a nation to himself. God's covenant here is with a nation, with the whole people of Israel, that they, as a nation, will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. If we go back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." And God goes to create the world. And after each thing that he creates, it was good. God made light, it was good. He made land and sea, it was good. He made birds and fish, it was good. He made plants and livestock, it was good. All of it was good. And then God made man and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." This was the first part of God's creation that was not complete and wasn't whole. So God said, "I will make a helper who is right for him." What is good is for humankind to be in community, because we're made in the image of God, each of us. And God is community. Our God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. That's the Trinity. And it is quite mind-boggling, but we can understand lots of it. We can understand that the Father is in constant, unending praise to the Son, and the Son is in constant, unending praise and love to the Father, and the Spirit is a constant, unending love between the Father and the Son. God is love. God is community. And by the very nature, there is community. And so we, us, Israel, being made in the image of God, means that they are made for community. And God calls this community, this nation of Israel, to be a kingdom of priests. And to be a priest is to be an intermediary between God and people. So God here is giving this nation a huge task to represent God to the rest of the world. And because God is community, to represent God, that needs to be done through community. The way that the nation of Israel shows love to each other reveals to the world the love of God. The way that the nation of Israel supports the weaker and more disadvantaged shows God's compassion for the marginalized. The way that the nation of Israel fight for justice reveals God's heart for justice and mercy to the world. It is through the way that Israel models community, the way that they model God to the rest of the world. This is the task that they've been given. So God calls them to be a kingdom of priests. He also calls them to be a holy nation. And to be holy is to be set apart, dedicated to God. God calls a nation to be holy because holiness isn't something that we are on our own. In the Bible, holiness is often describing God or describing places where God's presence is. And that is holy. So what does it mean for a person to be holy? To set ourselves apart for God? Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." For God to be number one in our lives, for our focus to be on him, for our love to be on him. That is holiness. But this isn't all that Jesus says. He continues, and to love your neighbour as yourself. To set ourselves apart is also to set ourselves apart for each other. To love God calls us to love one another and to live in that love. This is holiness. This is what it means to be a holy nation. Before this covenant that God makes with Israel, he makes a couple of others, one with Noah and one with Abraham. But this is the first covenant that God makes which has a condition of obedience with it. Verse 5 says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then you will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. If you obey me fully." And it's in the next chapter, straight after this one, in Exodus 20, that Israel are given the Ten Commandments. And the commandments are all centered around loving God and loving our neighbor. Have no other gods but the one true God. Worship no idols. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. And then love your neighbor. The Ten Commandments say, honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. And do not covet. These last six give us a framework, give Israel a framework to live in community, to live well in community. God gives these laws to the people of Israel to obey because these laws, when lived by, bring life. But these laws, when ignored, bring death. And I don't think God's saying, obey this, and if you don't, well, I can just leave you. I think God's saying, this covenant has a clause for you to obey, because if you don't obey these commandments, you're no longer a full nation, you're no longer a whole nation. If you stray away from these commandments, you're a broken nation, and that is no longer a nation that I call you to be. This is a framework that God gives Israel to live in community. But this calling isn't unique to Israel alone. In the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter, this is written to the church, to the early church. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We too, the church today, are God's holy nation, chosen to represent God to the rest of the world through modelling community. Chosen to be a holy nation, setting ourselves apart to serve God and to serve each other. But we don't find it any easier than Israel would have found it. Because the life in films like About a Boy are so appealing. Your thoughts aren't, oh, this poor rich man walking around his really expensive apartment. Your thoughts are, oh, that looks like quite a good life. Because in so many ways, the life which we just have to think about us is so much easier. Anyone who knows me very well will know that I love to be outside, I love to camp, I love to be on my bike or to be on the water sailing or windsurfing or kayaking, and I'm very fortunate to have lots of these things that enable me to do all of that. And I've got a WhatsApp group with my mum and with my sister, and my mum sent us a message saying, oh, they've got two friends getting rid of some kayaks, do either of us want them? To which my sister had replied, oh yes, that'd be great. Now me and Stephen, my husband, already have two kayaks. We don't need any. But my first instant reaction was, oh, they might be better than the ones that we already have. That was my first response. I wish I'd responded quicker to the text and I would have got it. And I caught myself thinking that and I was like, gosh, that's such a selfish reaction. Really what I should be thinking is, oh, that's really good because now when we go and see them, they can kayak with us. And I was like, no, that's still a selfish reaction. I'm still thinking about how it can benefit me. My sister is one of my most favourite people in the world, yet I wasn't even completely happy for her. My instant reaction was to look inwards and to not look outwards. It was our independence and our selfishness that first caused the breakage of relationship between us and God. We turned from his way and we went our way. It is the elevation of ourselves over and above others that continues to cause fractions and brokenness in the relationships around us. And because of this, being in community can be tough. It can be really, really tough at times. our selfishness causes hurt to others, and others' selfishness can cause hurt to us. And it can be easier and feel safer to take ourselves away from that. That is why the way of life in About a Boy looks so appealing. But if you've seen that film, or if you've seen any films like them, and if you haven't, a bit of a spoiler alert, but all the characters, they go on this journey to discover that life is made for community, that they're not meant to be on their own. But we're not just made to be in community to represent God. We're not just made to be in community to be holy. We're made to be in community because this is God's best for us. It is not good for man to be alone. What community are you in? Here at All Saints, we think home groups are a fantastic way to model community. Are you in a home group? Have you been in one before? Just beckoning up Laura. Slyly. Maybe you've been in a small group previously and you're not in one at the moment. Or perhaps you're thinking, yeah, I'd really like to be in one. Well, I've just asked Laura to share a brief testimony about her experience of small groups.
Yes, okay. Anything that doesn't make sense, just let that go somewhere else and just let the stuff that makes sense sink in, because this might come out a bit babbled. So I've been coming to All Saints for almost 8 years and I've always been in a home group, but not always the same one. And I think that's something that's worth noting as well, that it is okay to move if it's time to move and not to feel any sense of letting people down or anything like that, because not to go all Christianese, you know, we have like different seasons for different things. But I think similar to Hugh Grant, although Hugh Grant's issue is arrogance, well, not Hugh, the character, for me, home group has always been really, really important, because I'm someone who finds church, although this isn't that big, quite overwhelming. This might not portray it, but I'm quite shy, especially on like a one-on-one small kind of situation when there's loads of people and you have, you know, like mingling essentially. So home group has always been a really, really important place for me to have that community. And they have the different people I've been in home groups with are some of the, you know, my best friends now, or they're people that even if I don't see regularly, I know that they're people that I can absolutely rely on, who, you know, we continue to pray for each other. And then more recently, we've had a new evening service home group set up. And I think everyone who has joined that, it was definitely God's timing. Georgia and Stephen asked a few people and everyone suddenly felt, oh no, this is good. This is good community. And I've had a pretty horrible year. And that having that new group as well as the people from previous groups has just been really, really powerful. And I just wanted to say as well, because your talk was bringing it up, you know, we're in an epidemic of loneliness at the moment, and we're called to be examples of community. We're also seeing that the world is remembering that after a few decades of forgetting community. And, you know, there's lots of words about being authentic kind of going around, and in London people are coming back to, we need to be back in community. And the church has been doing that the whole way through. So I just really encourage you, if you're not in a home group, to absolutely join one or start one. I think George is going to say something more. Because that then means we can support each other, but look out as well, which leads me to very important notice. Which is that so our home group, they can't all do this tonight because they've got to go and make cakes and stuff, but there used to be a group of people that went to the pub after the evening service, and we want to start that again. So if anyone's up for that tonight, I know I'm there, you're there, pardon? Well, are we going to the Victoria or the Montpellier? I don't know. But anyway, we'll meet at the back by the font later, about 10 minutes after the service. But that was just a nice chance for the different people to get together. Yeah. Sorry, that was babbled.
Thanks very much, Laura. Are you clap, clap? Yeah, let's clap. Okay, great. So as Laura said, if you're not in a home group, we really encourage you to be in a home group. That would be really, really, really wonderful. And if you all signed up and said, yes, I really want to be in a home group, we wouldn't have enough. There also is a responsibility for us to create community, to not only be in it, but to create it. What community are we creating? Could you create one, create a community by leading a home group? And this is serious, because if you think you could, please come and speak to me or Jenny, because we'd really want to know if you could do that. But home group isn't the only way to create community. We can all be welcomers within this service. Whether you're officially signed up or not, welcome the people around you, connect with them. Have a look around and see how many people do you know the names of in this room. If you don't know their name, go up and say hi and introduce yourself to them. And as Laura says, being part of a home group can make situations like this feel a lot less daunting. You can also create community by inviting others to a pub or around to your house, into your home, to bless others and to encourage others. And I just, as almost a little side here, I was reading this that the Church of England had written about marriage. And if you're married or if you're in a family, I think it's almost an added responsibility that you've got. So I'm just going to read this out. We need to guard, however, against the idea that marriage is purely private, inward-looking arrangement, selfish for two, or whereas there are children, three or four, or whatever the number may be. The prayers in the ASB marriage service ask for the couple grace to minister to others and to be, by deed and word, witnesses of your saving love to those among whom they live. By this witness, in this troubled world, they are to enable unity to overcome division, forgiveness to heal injury, and joy to triumph over sorrow. A married couple are not simply to serve each other, but to stand side by side in service to the world. It is the strength of their many-dimensioned partnership which will make them more effective means of grace together than they could have been apart. Just as a wedding is a public ceremony, so a marriage is a public fact. It is a reshaping of human life within the community, and as such, has a responsibility to the community to be a force of good in its life. That was quite a long paragraph, but the essence being that I think if you're married, if you're in a community, there is an added responsibility for you to invite people into that community. But this isn't an excuse for people who aren't married. Each of us has a responsibility to do this. So we're called to be in community, we're called to create community. And finally, we're called to model community to a world that doesn't know God, to represent God to the rest of the world. Our aim isn't to create a community that serves itself, that is inward looking. Just as the nation of Israel was called to show love to each other, to reveal God's love to the world, so are we called to do that as well. We're called into community to reveal God to the world. So let's be inviting people into this community, into the community that you're creating. Or let's go out and reveal this community to the world around us. We were never made to live individually. We were never saved individually. God calls a nation. We are chosen to be God's community, to be God's church. And he calls his church to be a community that will represent him, to represent his sacrificial love. We are chosen to model community as a way of building God's kingdom here on earth. I believe that is what God was saying to the Israelites in Exodus 19, and I believe that is what he is saying to us this evening as well.